As a small business owner, have you ever felt overwhelmed by the pressure of choosing the right hire or leading a team? Or have you ever found yourself tolerating a bad hire because you fear trying and failing again as you repeat the hiring process? If so, you're not alone, and you are in the right place. Welcome to the Growing Your Team podcast. The Growing Your Team podcast teaches business owners like you to expand your unique business by teaching you to master the hiring and team management process. Hiring and managing a team does not have to be a challenge. You just have to learn to do it right. And the Growing Your Team podcast teaches you how to become a confident leader who hires right every single time. Now, let's jump into the show where each episode you will learn tips on how to identify what type of help you need on your team, how to source amazing candidates, how to conduct interviews that lead you to your ideal team member, how to onboard successfully, and how to lead every person in your business so you have a team of rock stars who you are happy to pay every single paycheck. So let's jump in and teach you how to hire like a pro. Hello, Jamie Van Kuyk here, and welcome back to the Growing Your Team podcast. Today, I have on guest Shelly Warren. Shelly is a distinguished women's leadership advisor and the host of the Stacking Your Team podcast. Her expertise lies in helping small business owners develop and nurture a leadership team that can take over the daily operations of the business, enabling the owners to focus on higher level growth decisions. Drawing from her impressive background, which includes successfully managing multi-million dollar projects for Fortune 50 corporations and iconic billion dollar brands, Shelly has spent nearly a decade coaching business owners. Now in its fifth year, the Stacking Your Team podcast stands as a top-rated show with over 500,000 downloads. It serves as a source of inspiration and education for women leaders, guiding them on how to build capable leadership teams that can effectively provide the daily direction needed to exceed the company's clients' expectations. Today, Shelly and I are talking about retaining your team members. On this podcast, we talk a lot about hiring, but hiring is only one piece of the puzzle. If you don't put in the work to actively retain your team members, it doesn't matter how great you are at hiring, you're always going to feel like you're hiring because those great team members are going to leave you. So we'll talk about tips about retention and strategies on how to structure your team so people feel valued, they feel like they have a path to grow, and so they want to stay working for your organization so that way you can grow in your role and become a true CEO while you have a fantastic team beneath you that's helping with the day-to-day execution of the work and serving your clients. So let's jump into this conversation with Shelly. Hi, Shelly. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Growing Your Team podcast.
I'm so happy to be here, Jamie.
Yeah. So before we get into today's conversation, can you kick us off with telling us a little bit about yourself and your business?
Well, I'm in Canada, which I think most people are not aware of that, unless they listen to my podcast. And sometimes people tease me about different pronunciations and they say, oh, you have an accent. I'm like, do I really? But so I hail from Canada. I'm here in Ontario. And my career has been somewhat normal, like compared to everyone else's. Like you started out in one career avenue and then moved into others. But I definitely ran a retail store for many, many years, hit my glass ceiling there. So I bounced out and over into corporate, stayed there for over two decades, leading really big technical teams, leading million-dollar projects on billion-dollar brands. That's what I did for a Fortune 50 corporation. Then I moved, I had a side hustle, which allowed me to retire early. So I retired at 52 with my side hustle. also started working for a U.S. brand, built out a profit center and a bunch of programming and intellectual property for that brand, and then bought it all back. And so now it's my own company called Stacking Your Team, and I'm loving being an independent small business owner again.
Sounds great. So what all do you guys do at Stacking Your Team? Tell us a little bit more about that.
So I have a podcast by the same name, Stacking Your Team. And what I do is I teach small business owners how to find, attract, retain, and lead their team. So, and how I do that is I really help them learn how to introduce a leadership team so that the leadership team is running the day-to-day operations, not the CEO.
Yes. Yeah, that is so important. And it's always one of those things where, as a lot of the businesses I work with, they're really those micro businesses. They don't have that middle leadership yet, but telling mm-hmm. them and teaching them why that's important, why sometimes it's, even if it's in one department, so starting with, it's like getting someone between them and the day-to-day worker in that department on that team, because you eventually need to get out of the day-to-day if you want to keep growing your business.
Yeah, it's a real common problem in the world of small business, whether you have a brick and mortar or whether you have an online business. Generally, what I see, I'm sure you see it too, is that a lot of these women, they literally are tucking into bed at night with their laptop, and they're paying bills, they're doing payroll, they're mapping out strategies after the kids go to bed. And that's not the life that she dreamt of when she launched the business. So what I like to do with my clients is really help them figure out, how do we build this leadership team? It starts with one and, you know, can grow to as many as you need so that she's ready for her next step in growth. So whether she wants to open up another location, wants to move into a new region, wants to introduce a secondary complementary business, she feels that she can, because there's someone there to literally move the OG business forward and meet those strategic goals.
Yes. And it's a scary step, especially if we're starting and we're a business of one, you're doing all the client work. And I feel like that's sometimes the hardest thing to get out of is the client work, because that's our baby. Typically, we started our business partially because maybe we wanted to be our own boss, but mostly because we're like, I'm really good at this and I can provide these services or create these products. And then it's like, and now I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah, it can be really disheartening. And oftentimes I've seen women come to me just literally in tears because they are living this life that wasn't at all what they hoped it was going to be. And there's a lot of collateral damage that has disrupted over the years that they built that business. So they've lost marriages. Teenagers don't speak to them anymore. I mean, their best friends barely, you know, they barely get to see their best friends. There's all this ripple effect that happens when she is hanging on too tightly to the original services that she provided or the original product development that she launched. And sometimes, you know, she's hanging on, like literally white knuckling it out of fear that she's going to lose everything she built if she handed it off to a team member. But that's really what we do. Like people like you and me, Jamie, what we really do is we just kind of hold their hand and walk them through the process to build up their confidence for them to be able to take baby steps. And then all of a sudden they're just like, the thing I hear all the time is, oh my gosh, I should have done this 3 years ago. I can't believe I didn't do this sooner. That's usually the comment that I get after they've got things set up.
Yes. Yeah. It is that transformation. It is great when they see that they can do it. Mm-hmm. And as we always say, it's like, what's the saying? It's like the best time to start was yesterday. The second best time to start is now. It's like the mm-hmm. same with growing your team. Like you might be behind, but the only thing you should really do is move yourself forward with taking the right steps. Don't stress about what you didn't do in the past, but take the right steps now.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
So one of the things that I know a lot of people think about as they go to hire is retention. And they're like, well, I can get the right person in the door, maybe, but will they stay? So how in today's environment, as small business owners, can we impact our retention rates?
Well, what I've seen over the last 6 years that I've had the podcast and that I've been coaching clients is that most small business owners do not even give it a minute of thought or belief that they can offer a career versus a job. And that's the shift that has to happen, because once she realizes, well, wait a minute, I can offer a really nice, worthwhile career for people here, then what ends up happening is we can go out and change up our messaging and our role postings and in our career portals that we have on websites and just how we generally show up in the public and how we talk to people, where we are reminding people that you don't have to be in corporate to have a great career. And how many people in corporate actually have a great career? I mean, like, my hand is raised high. I've had many wonderful corporate careers, but that doesn't happen for everyone. A lot of people get hung up on the different rungs of the ladder, trying to climb their way in corporate. They jump from one ladder to another ladder. There's disappointments along the way, and there's a ton of competition. And during COVID, what we found was many, many, many people stopped and realized, hey, wait a minute. I'm not even happy here, yet I keep trying to climb this ladder. So small business owners, there was the opportune time to really grab your voice and start yelling out loud, hey, wait a minute, I have career opportunities for you over here. And so that's really what we do inside the Leadership Lab programs that I have, is I teach those clients how to position themselves as this person's next best career move. And it's nowhere near corporate. It's not going to feel like corporate. It's going to be so much better than corporate. And, you know, let me count the ways. Let me tell you all the ways that this is going to be so much better for you versus being stuck in that, on that ladder where you never really feel like you're on the right rung. And there's someone biting at your ankles trying to get you off that one.
So to kind of go to the basics, what is the difference between a job and a career? Like, what are we trying to do or showcase that something is a career instead of a job?
Well, the basic language that I like to use, and I think like one of the things I'm known for, is just how I approach things and words and phrases and sticky situations and just helping people with messaging. But one of the things that I coach all my clients is, what we need to do with every single person that comes on the team is reinforce with them that they're getting paid for outcomes. And then it moves to, does every single person on your team know exactly what they're getting paid to do? Because we're not paying people to come in and just know a lot of stuff. We all know a lot of stuff. All of us do. We're all brilliant women. We're all brilliant people. We all know a lot of stuff. But when you look at joining a small business and you're coming into a role, you really need to figure out, what is it that I need this person to deliver on? What are the outcomes? And then how do I set this role up so that they succeed and they're able to execute and do what it is that I'm paying them to do?
It is so interesting. While you're talking about that, it reminded me of this one project I worked on a few years ago where it was actually a pretty large organization. They had 200 employees. They were getting ready to make some big transformational changes in the org. And we were starting with, let's interview a whole bunch of people, find out what they are doing, so then we can set up the org appropriately for their size, because they grew really fast and they didn't shift responsibilities in the right way as they grew. And one of the questions I would ask people is, like, what are the goals of your position? Like, and they would start telling me the goals of the organization. And I would say, no, that's the goal for the organization. Yeah. What are the goals for your position? How do you know if you're doing a good job? And the majority of them could not answer that question. Their way of knowing they did a good job was if their manager told them they were doing a good job, or if the company exceeded at their goals. But I'm just like, but we need to tie it to your role. How do we know that you, under this title, doing this particular work, does a good job or not?
But isn't that what we despise about corporate? It's just all these like layers of leadership. And I like to call them gray zones where, you know, in the world of small business, because you have more control into what you're building here, you can get rid of the gray zones and have everything in black and white. And that storyline that you just shared there, in my mind, that is just a great example of how team members do not truly understand what they do every day and how it rolls up into the strategic plan. So therefore, if they don't know that, then they also don't know where they're being a bottleneck to someone else. They also don't know who on the team are they absolutely driving crazy because someone else is always waiting for them or disappointed in them or feeling beholden to them in some way. And it just creates these team dynamics that in corporate, you can kind of get away with because there's lots of cushion in corporate. There's an HR department. There's a training department. You know, there's all these different avenues and places for people to hide. But in the world of small business, there's no place to hide. There's no HR department. There's no training department. And everything is personal. Everything is personal for that small business owner. So if she does not know how to teach her team or educate her team, you know, this is what you're being paid to do. These are the outcomes that the business needs you to provide. And let me show you what role you're playing in that. Let me show you how what you're doing every single day rolls up into the bigger picture of what we're doing here and helps us keep our doors open. And it's her learning how to tell those stories and how to put that together with actual frameworks and messaging that makes all the difference. Because we've all, I'm sure you have too, Jamie, you've taken on a job somewhere. You got in there, you thought it was going to be one thing. And then you get there and you're like, jeepers, this isn't anything like I thought it was going to be like. So you're either pleasantly surprised or disappointed. But either way, there's that sense of, I kind of feel like I was duped here.
Yeah. Yeah. I know my very first full-time job out of college, the title that I was hired for and the work I ended up doing were not the same thing. And I put up with it for I would say a pretty long time. I was there a year and a half because there kept being the promise, oh, we'll eventually add that stuff to your to-do list. You'll eventually work on that stuff. And finally, I was just like, I'm not even doing what I was hired to do. And I'm just like, I don't want to be doing the work that I am doing day to day.
Yeah, because it doesn't feel worthwhile. And the whole idea of offering career opportunities in the world of small business that absolutely paint a picture that this person is going to come in, you're going to do worthwhile work, and then back it up with actually giving them the decision space, giving them the onboarding, giving them the breadth and the freedom and the insight to be able to really go out and deliver those outcomes. That's how you keep high performing people. It's just, that's how you do it. And it's done. It can be done really well in corporate. Corporate typically has learned over the years how to keep high performing people, typically because it's such a big investment because of the payrolls and the stock options and the perks. And, you know, I had it all, you know, the American Express card, the whole deal. Right. So when you have all of that, you darn well make sure that that person understands they're getting paid for outcomes. But we can do the same thing in the world of small business. And you don't need to have a corporate America Express card given to everyone on your team. It's just, you take that idea of, hey, I want to build a really great team here of people that want to be here and are happy to be here, and I'm happy to have them here. So how do I do that? And it's really all about making sure that you design a career path forward for them where they learn, hey, I'm going to come in, I'm going to start in this role. And then here are the other opportunity areas for me. And my leader and I can cut a plan as to where am I going to go next? What am I going to learn next? What am I going to get qualified on next? Where's the next cool thing that I'm curious about? Where can I go in and learn that and start to add value over there too?
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I have my thoughts on this, but what about the person listening that says, but there is no kind of like career structure, move, hierarchy developed yet in my business. I'm bringing on some of my early team members and it's me and three other people and we have no layers. So what do we tell those people? Like, how do they approach those conversations when you're in that situation?
Well, what I like to do with someone who is just beginning to build this out, and so if they have a smaller team and they're just, you know, they're looking for the future, is I always have them develop two org charts, a current org chart and a future org chart, and dream big on that future org chart, but also back it up with what you know, what are the demands of your marketplace, that you know what your constraints are within the region that you live in, and that you know that you actually have a desire to want to build the business out in that direction versus doing what society says you're supposed to do if you're a successful business, or versus what a family member might tell you what you should be, you know, really moving on up, what moving on up means to every person. So when you have those two org charts and you can see the gaps, now there's the goodness there, because now we can really start to think about, okay, if this is where we're going and it's going to be, you know, a 2-year journey, a 3-year journey, what can we do with the team members that we have right now to entice them to stay? So how do we start looking at every single person's role? And really what I like to do is I call this skill stacking. And what I really mean by that is someone comes into the business and they bring a core skill. That's what you hired them for. You hired them to come in and do this one thing because they had that core skill. But guess what? In the world of small business, you cannot be a one-trick pony. You can get away with that for years in corporate, but you cannot get away with that in the world of small business. It's just not going to work. So you're not going to be a one-trick pony. You have this incredible core skill that you're going to master. Where am I going to now cross-train you in? What are two more skill sets that I can cross-train you in so that now my team has some agility? If someone announces they need a mat leave, if someone breaks their leg, if someone moves to Australia for love, you know, if someone decides to leave and open her own business, how does the team stay agile? We do that through cross-training. So they come in with a core skill. It's identified what their next cross skills are going to be. And then we move on to value add skills. So what are the additional value added skills that you can bring to your to the business that not only help move the business forward, but also help you feel like you really are building out a career here, and it matches your curiosities and it matches your strengths and it keeps you stretched and interested and you're continuing to build mastery. I mean, there's no reason on earth why a small business owner cannot do that. She just hasn't thought about it yet.
Right. And I think sometimes it's also the thing of we get into that thing where we're still so busy, even when we start hiring a team, that we're not really saying goodbye completely to certain things. We're just replacing those tasks with something else. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's just like, I don't have time to do all that. But it's one mm-hmm. of those things is you get the reward for spending the time.
Well, I've never yet in the 6 years that I've been doing this, I've never ever had a client say to me, well, that was a great waste of time. No, they've all said, oh my gosh, this is game changing. I feel so confident. I know exactly where this business can go. And I, you know, because I help them map out timelines, and we also map out like who is the best fit for this. And let's have a conversation with him and find out, like, does this even match what he would be interested in? And, you know, let's get all that clarity up front so that you're not pining for someone in the future, only to find out when you offer this next career move to them, when they look at you and they say, well, no, thank you. Like, we need to get all that alignment early on. And that's what gives her a ton of confidence. And the best thing about it is that many of these clients end up having the breadth and the space to go and do something that really lights them up. So for some of them, they may have another child. For others, they may purchase a home and remodel the whole thing from top to bottom. Others write a book. Others decide that they're going to, you know, lean more into thought leadership and, you know, really work towards speaking from the stage. Others move into media where they're doing, you know, they're becoming the local voice for radio and television in their city. But the cool thing about it, Jamie, is she suddenly realizes she has time for options.
Right.
And options are my favorite thing in the world. Favorite thing in the world is when you know you've got options, because you no longer feel stuck. Or sometimes I meet some of my clients early on where they're actually a little bit resentful of their team. And it's a real feeling that they have towards their team, because it can feel like the team is actually slowing them down.
Really?
Yeah. So when you're spending the most of your day over coaching, over handholding, over fixing, over emotional people, with people who are ill-equipped to continue to be agile and roll the punches. And me, the biggest really like aha moment for me was working with all my clients through COVID. It became glaringly obvious who on her team, like every single client, I had every single one of them go through this exercise where they really overnight, they knew on their team who had a growth mindset and who had a fixed mindset. I mean, that's what COVID did to all of us.
Right.
Overnight, you knew who were the people on my team who are willing to adjust, be uncomfortable, work through that uncomfortability, and also know that there's an optimistic outcome here and let's make that happen, versus people that literally hid under the covers and it crushed them mentally, physically. You know, the whole soul was crushed. They were just crushed and unavailable and unreliable. Like overnight, Jamie, it was became so apparent on people's teams. And so anyone that had a small business through those years is probably still got a few bumps and bruises on her. Because I don't think anybody came out of that like squeaky clean, or, you know, I don't think anybody was like on the top of the podium through that. But it's really about, what do we do now that we know that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so true. And like thinking about like when you're talking about people resenting their team, it just like one of the things I talk about at times is this cycle of micromanagement that we get into. So we do replace sometimes doing the task with managing the task. So we don't gain anything. And it's because,
but you're paying for it though. Yeah. Oh my gosh. We're still paying for that outcome. And guess who's actually delivering the outcome? You.
Yep. Yep. Or so hands-on that they might be physically typing or pushing the buttons, but you're there overseeing everything. And we get into that cycle. And a lot of times we feel like we can't let go because our team members become dependent on us, but our team members become dependent on us because we're teaching them that they need to be dependent on us because we don't trust them to do it without us. And so it's this vicious cycle. And I think a lot of times, going back to some of the other stuff we mentioned, it goes back to that fear of delegating, where it's like, I've done this. No one else can do it like I was. So I'm holding myself back.
Yes. I listened to your recent podcast about delegating. It was really well done. And I think we need to be more, just make it more normal to talk about like the dark side of owning a small business. Because I mean, I can get quite what's the word, maybe a little more like the sports coach in me comes out sometimes with clients, and you know, I can really call them on their stuff, because there's definitely, in the world of small business, there definitely are those small business owners that are afraid to pass something off for fear that it's literally going to implode their business because they think they're the only one that can do it as well. But then there's also small business owners that don't want to hand anything over, and they want their team to be incredibly reliant on them because it feeds their soul. Like they enjoy having their team be dependent on them. There's something in it for her. There's definitely something in it for her that her team needs to reach out to her so often and is so reliant and dependent on her. And so what I like to do is help her work through that to start to really uncover, why is that? Why does that light me up when my team needs me for something, versus when I can go for a whole day and I'm not getting a Slack message, not a Voxer message, not an email, things in the business is moving forward. Why doesn't that light me up? Right. So I kind of would help her figure that out. And once she does figure it out, then she's off to the races.
Yeah. It reminds me of this one client that I worked with years ago, that she had a need to be the smartest person in the room. Mm-hmm. But she then resented her employees when they weren't smarter than her. So it was like, why can't they do this and be just like me and do better than I'm doing in these things? Mm-hmm. But also, don't dare you ever pretend that you're better than me and do better than me, because I don't want you showing me up. And it was this whole thing that we had to coach through of like, you're the expert over here. They're the expert over here. This is why you hired them. And it's okay that they're smarter than you in those things because like the position we were hiring for was a marketing position. And I was like, marketing, you're not a marketing company. This marketing is just a portion of your company. You need to go serve your clients and leave the marketing to the expert who has already proven that they know that what they're doing. And it's okay for them to be better than you in marketing. That's what you want.
I'm so happy you're very similar to me in that sense that there are no big, ugly, dark secrets as coaches, right? Like we need to really uncover those things and make, you know, create that psychological safety that people feel very comfortable to just tell it like it is, because you're not fooling anyone. And part of your retention problem is your high performing people are not having that. Your high performing people do not appreciate having you stand over them, breathing down their neck, watching everything they do. And they really don't appreciate you giving them the ownership for an outcome and the decision space that goes along with it. And then suddenly yanking it back. Right. Like that is so disruptive to a high-performing person that they literally, if that happens once, okay. If it happens twice, that's a red flag. And they literally will start looking for a new position.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, we sometimes push the employees out and then get mad that they're not staying.
Yes.
And it's like,
it's so true.
You're part of the problem.
Yeah. It's so true. It's like that Taylor Swift song, you know, hi, hello, it's me. Yeah.
Yep.
It's that, exactly. That is the situation. And as women, I think as, you know, we're getting smarter, we're more brilliant than we ever were before. Every generation, we're just creating more and more brilliant women out there. And now we've come to a time where we can face those things. We can literally look at ourselves and ask the deeper questions. Hey, what role am I playing in this mess that I've got here to clean up? And what do I need to continue to evolve?
Yeah. I always tell people when I'm working with them, if there's one team member that appears to be a problem or is you're not getting through to, or you have to micromanage or things like that, it could be that they're the problem. But when it happens with each one of your employees, it's not a them problem. It's a you problem.
Yeah. It's the old math problem. What's the common denominator?
Right.
It's that whole idea of, wait a minute, this seems to happen to me. And I'm sure you've had clients that will kind of like kick and scream and say that, why does this keep happening to me? This just keeps happening to me. And that's where, you know, it's your role and it's my role to say, okay, I need to put the mirror in front of you right now. Let's walk through, why is this continuing to happen over and over and over again with you? And when she's ready to look at that and realize what she needs to do differently, then, and she intrinsically knows, hey, if I want something different, I need to show up differently. I need to learn how to speak to my team differently. I need to learn how to give them direction. I need to use these tools so that, you know, there's no more of these gray zones. I need to stop clawing back responsibility and ownership that I so willingly gave them. And then when I got uncomfortable about it, then I went in and clawed it back. When she's willing to look at those things, the team notices and gets so excited because they just think, oh my gosh, this is so much better than what it was. I think I'm going to stay here.
Yes. Yeah. It's you're helping them see that potential. You know, what some of the things like we talked about is like when you're delegating to your team, it's not just delegating tasks, it's delegating authority. You know, it's saying, this is what you have authority over. You can make decisions about these things. And that way they don't have to come to you constantly and they feel empowered.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what people want, especially your high performers. High performing people want to know that they can come in to a role and literally leave their stamp on the business. So they're going to implement something new. They're going to create something new. They're going to create a new business asset, whether it's an internal asset or an external asset. They're going to take over and build out a profit center. They're going to go in and double down on the revenues. They're going to do a ton of cost savings projects and really streamline things and put lots of deep operational strategies in place so that they're actually helping everyone's job seem so much easier. That's what high performing people want to do. If they are coming in under the guise that that's what they're going to be able to do, and then once they get in there and realize, wait a minute, who's that leader that I met in the interview? Where'd she go?
Right.
Where are the outline and the descriptors for this role that I accepted? I saw it on paper. where is it in my real life? You know, they will push back on those things. And oftentimes they won't stay around for long if they start to realize that they've been duped.
Right. Well, it's like high performers, I'm not saying that they're not used to challenges and having to work hard and things like that, but they're typically used to doing a good job. They work hard and they see the rewards. So they're not going to stay in a company where they feel like they're never doing a good job because their boss is always taking things away or correcting their work, especially if it's a manner of correcting the work without the constructive criticism of, all right, here's how to get better. Okay, you're 75% there. Let's get you to 85% the next time I'm here cheering you on. I'm coaching you. I'm leading you so you can grow. So the high performers are not going to stay in a position where they feel that they can't perform well. And then I think one other thing that's important about the high performers is some of the stuff like you listed is just their natural thing. That's what they do at places. So sometimes mm-hmm. your high performers don't realize that they're necessarily high performers because they just do. So I think when it comes to retention is you also need to recognize what they're doing and how they made an impact and everything. I remember one of my team members years ago, she was like, we were filling out our stuff. This is in corporate. So of course we had the formal reviews and stuff. And she was like, I haven't done anything in this area. I don't know what to put here. And I was like, are you kidding me? And I kept a list throughout the entire year. Mm-hmm. And we had talked about these things too, but once throughout the year, but she was just like, yeah, that's just my job. This is my job. And I'm like, this isn't just your job. These are all the things where you went above and beyond and you worked on side projects and all these things that they all need to go there on your review. But to her, that was just what she did. That was so natural to her that she didn't think of it as extra.
Yeah, and that's the sign of a great leader, Jamie, that you were able to, not only did you keep track of those things, but that you literally made her stop and face the list and just, you know, wallow in the goodness of that and have you there to walk her through and remind her of all those things. Because you're right, I see that in small business as well. I'm sure you do too, where the small business owner, they reach like a significant revenue goal and then because I'm constantly saying to my clients, well, what's the plan? What are we going to do to celebrate that? What are we going to do to celebrate that? What are we going to do to celebrate that? They literally don't stop to think about celebrating. They just move on to the next goal, the next part of the plan. And because they're all high achieving women. Yep. And it's always me going, wait a minute, slow down. I want to know, let's put a plan in place right now. How are we going to celebrate this milestone? What are we going to do about it? Let's get the plan on paper. Let's get your executive assistant in here. Let's get it working. Let's get it going. Because to just brush over these milestone moments, it's just, I don't think it's good for her soul.
It's not, but it is one of those things. Like, I agree that sometimes we keep going. And I feel like the further you get into business, sometimes you, even though you set them as milestones, you don't see them as milestones because you immediately go to the next thing. And I know I've made comment a few times, like my husband was one of my biggest cheerleaders in the business and everything. And sometimes beginning, we'd celebrate everything. And then it got to a point, it's like, well, maybe I'm not going to celebrate every client I get, but we'll celebrate when I hit these certain milestones. And then things will happen. And I'll be talking to him and he's like, well, when are we celebrating? When do I get the bottle of champagne? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he goes, that's a big deal of what you just did. And I'm just like, I guess it is. Thank you for making me stop and realize that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can't settle on just thinking, you know, with the check mark, having the, you know, the glory moment come from the check mark. We need to actually commemorate it through something. And it doesn't mean you have to go and spend thousands of dollars and take a cruise, but it's just that whole idea. What can you do to mark the moment? Whether it's something big, something small, it doesn't matter, but mark the moment in some way.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, Shelley, we have to start wrapping up for today. So tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Well, as a podcaster, I appreciate podcasters and podcast listeners. So if you go to stackyourteam.com/listener, there's a whole bunch of free goodies there for you. There's all kinds of resources there that you can go and grab, download them, and move your business forward. And it doesn't matter how big your team is, how small your team is, if you have a remote team, those resources are designed to move you forward, because I'm all about making sure that we're supporting other women in leadership roles. So get over there at stackingyourteam.com/listener and get those goodies.
Yes. And I know you mentioned it before and everything, but your podcast is called Stacking Your Team and it's on all major platforms, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. All right. My final question that I love to ask all my guests. We've all had leaders or managers that have stood out to us. Think of a leader or manager that has stood out to you and share one thing about them.
I had some really great leaders in my early corporate career. And the biggest thing that they did for me, there was actually a team of them. These three guys, they're all engineers, quite high up the food chain. And they decided that they were going to be controversial and be my sponsor and really help me forge a career path forward. And it really helped me break through a lot of glass ceilings. And they were incredibly supportive and willing to be controversial to have me be the first woman to have that role, the first woman to lead that size of a project, the first woman to have that area of ownership. And that meant the world to me. I'm still in contact with all of them. They've all moved on and, you know, they're pretty world famous within that Fortune 50 corporation now. But it was very, I don't want to use the word empowering, but it was such a huge confidence booster to know that those three guys who were so well respected at that company were willing to take the heat on my behalf. It just meant the world to me. I've never forgotten it.
Yes. Oh, that's great. It's always good to be that cheerleader and supporter for others, and to have people be that for us, that help us get to places that we might not have been able to get to on our own. So great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. They sure held me accountable. I mean, I had to bring it once, right? I got all those roles.
Right.
But it was the whole idea of that they were just willing to take the brunt of the negative commentary of, you know, well, do you think she's ready for that yet? You know, like all that kind of stuff. They were just really, really supportive, and it meant the world to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also one of those things, I think, kind of going back to tie into what we talked about today, is if you didn't have them cheering for you and pushing for you, you might yourself think, I'm not ready for that. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're not. We sometimes just hold ourselves back. And I think that's sometimes true with our teams, as we're going to build that career path for them, is having those conversations, helping them see the potential that they have that they're not seeing in themselves. Help them get to that next spot, whether it is the training or the opportunities, and really be that person to maybe push them along, even if they're not 100% there, because they'll get everything that they need once they're put up for the challenge.
And it feels so wonderful to watch someone succeed. It's just the best feeling in the world, is to watch someone succeed and have them come to the realization that, hey, I'm actually pretty good at this. I mean, it's just a wonderful thing to see.
Yes. Yes. All right, Shelly, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure, Jamie. I'm so happy to finally know you.
I know. I'm happy to know you as well now.
Are you ready to hire a new team member for your business, and you want to ensure you hire the person who can succeed in the role, make you happy, and positively impact your bottom line? Then let's talk and see how growing your team can help you master the art of hiring. Through bespoke hiring frameworks and comprehensive guidance, you will learn how to attract candidates who have the passion you desire and the skills needed to succeed. At Growing Your Team, women entrepreneurs and leaders work with us to help them expand their unique businesses by teaching them how to hire like a pro. Let's connect and see how we can help you. Send me an email at jamie@growingyourteam.com. That's Jamie, Jamie, @growingyourteam.com, or head on over to growingyourteam.com/jumpstart, with jumpstart being all one word, and let's talk about how you can become a confident leader who hires right every single time.